It's a family business story that stretches over a century. And we hear it today on The Business of Family Business. Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We're joined in studio with Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling and also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this show. We also want to thank our participating sponsor, Ferguson Roofing, on this weekend's episode of The Business of Family Business. Is that a Washington shirt? Is that what you have on? Oh, no, it's Welsh. I saw the W. It looked like the baseball W.
They stole our W, and so did Walgreens. We had it long before they did.
They did. Well, you had this.
We had this in 1895, and that was 1895, not 1995, 1895. So that was before Walgreens and the Washington
Nationals.
And, yeah, we every time I see it, I get a kick out of it. We think that they owe us something for it.
I'm going to just admit this right off the bat. HVAC. I didn't know the V stood
HVAC.
For
ventilation.
Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning.
Yeah, I've always said HVAC, but HVAC. But
either way. Doesn't it go either way? I've heard of both.
Yeah, and truthfully, in residential, the V and we call it heating and air conditioning more than we call it HVAC. HVAC, we talk about more in commercial, where ventilation is a much bigger deal. It's becoming more in residential, but we don't. Let's put it this way. The typical consumer that we're dealing with isn't familiar with HVAC.
Right.
They're familiar with heating and air conditioning. Some not even that. Some with furnaces and air conditioners.
Yeah.
Period.
So let's start where the business started, because you have a rich history.
We are 120 plus years old. We'll be 123 years old this year.
Wow.
We were started in 1895 by my dad's grandfather. We were at 5600 Manchester, just south of where the arena was, to give you an idea, between Macklin and Kings Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Between Hampton and Kings Highway. And we were there for 75 years, and then we're out in Westport now, and we've been out there ever since. It started out, if you can think of 1895, number one, there weren't cars.
Mm-hmm.
There were trolleys, and there were horse and buggies.
Okay.
And we actually have a picture of a horse and buggy where the buggy has Welsh sheet metal on it from around that era, which is kind of neat. And we were in the It was more like a general store than actually a heating and air conditioning company, obviously. And we had pot-bellied stoves, was kind of the forerunner to being in the heating business, and had a lot of things like that. We have a couple of pictures that from the front at the front of the building and see some of the items that were for sale. Keep in mind that that time, 5600 Manchester was quite a distance from downtown St. Louis by horse and buggy. So we were not in the country, but we were out pretty far.
This is back in the 1800s. Were you surprised when, like, the pellet stoves started to make a comeback and people were installing those in the homes?
Yes. You know, they were a fad that, you know, some people got into. Some people got into wood-burning stoves.
Yeah.
There are still some people that, you know, out in the country that have a lot of wood. And I guess time on their hands that don't mind putting the wood in, but it was a major improvement in our industry when we were fabricating and installing coal furnaces in the 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
We would buy the pieces because they had to come in pieces because they were so big you couldn't get them in the house if they weren't in pieces. So we installed a lot of those coal-fired furnaces. They were gravity-fired, which meant that the burner warmed up the heat, and if you looked in the basement, there would be like a spider web of pipes going up to various outlets in the various rooms, and then typically in the middle of the hall, there would be a great big grill, and the cold air would drop down through that grill and then drop into the furnace, be heated up, and then go up through these spider pipes that went up into the house. And that's the way the heat got into the house. And they were coal-fired. For a long time, you had to actually shovel the coal from the coal bin into the furnace. Then they got what was called a clinker, which was a device that took the coal from the coal bin and put it into the furnace, so you didn't actually have to shovel it in. Mm-hmm. And then a major development in the industry came right after World War II, when they came out with a conversion burner that was gas-fired, and it stuck in the place of the where the coal went, and it was actually gas-fired. They were very inefficient. In today's world, they were probably less than 50% efficient, so you wasted a lot of gas, but people were even happy to get gas back in those days.
Sure.
Believe it or not, gas was hard to get a hold of. My dad, one of my dad's successes through the years is he made friends with the right people, and he was friends with a guy from the gas company, so that when a customer needed gas and in some unusual location, he was able to get it for him. And actually, there's an area along Topping Road in Town and Country that only relatively recently got gas. There were oil-fired furnaces there.
Oh, wow.
But the conversion burner then became a business for us in the late 40s, right after World War II.
Okay. So Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling. When was the last time someone called you and asked you a question about a coal furnace? Like, what was the last year you actually saw one inside of a house?
We've seen one inside of a house probably within the last 20 years.
Yeah? Were they operational, or were they just sitting in there
and
not removed?
No, they were operational.
Wow.
There's some big old houses that they were inefficient, but they were also, there were not very many components to them, so they lasted for a long time.
Sure.
And so there wasn't much to go wrong with them.
Yeah. Well, the business has changed a lot. I mean, back from the 1800s to the way it is today. I mean, how many years have you been involved?
55.
It's a long time.
This is my 55 years, and I tell people the one constant that there's been along the way is change.
Yeah.
Things change all the time, and they're changing, more rapidly now than they ever did. But you know, we've seen, you know, we were installing conversion burners right after the war. Then there was a big housing boom when all the soldiers came back after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big housing boom in the St. Louis area. We were fortunate enough to do work for the largest builder in St. Louis. So we put a lot of furnaces in these new houses that were being built. Keep in mind, they were just furnaces at that time. They were heating only. At that time, the manufacturers saw the opportunity, and they came out what was called a forced air furnace, which meant that the furnace actually had a blower that would blow the air into the house, so it was no longer gravity fired. It could be forced air. And the furnace, it was funny because those furnaces were called gas designed, which meant that it wasn't a conversion burner, it was gas designed. And it was forced air, so that it had a blower. That was unique.
So what does your company focus on now? Is it primarily you're putting furnaces in, or are you working with air conditioning? Or like what's the, I guess, the bread and butter of what you're doing today?
Bread and butter of what we're doing now is service and providing service for furnaces and air conditioners. We've installed over 120,000 furnaces in the St. Louis area and air conditioners. And so we concentrate on providing service to those customers, and then we replace furnaces and air conditioners.
Wow.
Furnaces and air conditioners, they had a longer lifespan originally. Comparatively, you spent more money for them at that time.
Yeah.
And so they now last, a furnace will last 15 to 18 years. Plus, the government came in and increased the efficiency requirements on both furnaces and air conditioners. So it made it practical to replace a furnace and air conditioner. So we provide service. We provide replacements of furnaces and air conditioners. That's about 60% of our business.
Mm-hmm.
About 30% of our business is new residential construction. We do some subdivision work, and we do some very large custom houses, very large custom houses.
We're going to hear more from Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling on the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting and our participating sponsor, Ferguson Roofing. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And as you hear the story about Butch, who's led the business for the past 55 years, there's a lot of businesses that may be listening right now wondering what's going to happen next when they're ready to step down. Because 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition. That means if your family business is ready to consider that, or you are getting into the planning stage, it's important that you learn about my friends at CMA Consulting. Because not only do they help you identify a successor, but they also want to develop that person. And you probably already know this, but very few active business owners are working to unify the next generation to develop them to be effective owners. When was the last time the members in your family discussed how to apply insights into the business? Let me give you a tip that will save you a lot of trouble. Contact Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. You can learn about how they'll unify, develop, and align your family business. Go to cmaconsult.com or call 314-721-1860 to see if this program is right for you and your family business. CMA Consulting in the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. The website every family business should know, cmaconsult.com. We're in studio with Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents the program here today, The Business of Family Business on KMOX. Can I admit the furnace in my house is about 30 years old?
30 years old?
It's running strong still.
Let me tell you that at 30 years, I would tell you, number one, if it's working fine, I wouldn't worry about it too much. If there's any kind of a major repair, I would recommend replacing the furnace, because a furnace that's 30 years old is probably in the 55 to 60% efficient range. Mm-hmm. The least efficient furnace that you can buy today is 80% efficient, and you can buy up to a 95% efficient. And so you can save an awful lot of money operating cost-wise with a new furnace.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I want to talk to you about something, because we hear a lot about family businesses that started up in the 1800s and how they've been able to adapt. You've heard Butch's story so far, 55 years, and you've seen all the changes and being able to roll with the changes. I'm talking about the lifespan of my furnace. A lifespan of someone that's been involved in a business is that 55 years is just probably 10 times more impressive.
I think Butch takes the record on this show. I know the show's not that old, but Butch has the record for longevity and tenure as a CEO. So I think he does take that, and I have a feeling he might hold that record for some time. And it is amazing that somebody has been able to lead a business, keep it current, keep it strong, keep it changing with the industry over 55 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Butch really is a walking history book.
Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling. You mentioned your dad's grandfather who started the business. You also mentioned a stat, 120,000 installations you've had around the area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how far back does your record keeping go?
We go back to the 30s.
Wow.
And so, you know, before that, we don't really know how many we installed and really what they were. So I don't want to take credit for those. Mm-hmm. We probably delivered some potbelly stoves and probably installed them because they needed a flue to go out. But we do go back to the 30s. Our records are pretty complete. We had a secretary that was dynamite as far as keeping records is concerned. So in fact, she used an old typewriter for many years into the computer age because she liked her typewriter.
Are you computerizing everything
now? Now we're computerized.
Yeah,
in fact, even as we speak right now, our service techs are going mobile where they will no longer have paper tickets. They will do everything on their telephone.
Yeah.
And the customer will sign the ticket on their phone. They will have the receipt emailed to them.
Uh-huh.
If they want to pay, they can pay on the phone. And that's the way of the future.
So your great-grandfather, was he from Germany?
Yes.
Yeah, and he came here from Germany.
He came here from Germany, and he was a tinsmith, which is what they called him. I get a kick out of it because even as I started in the business in the 60s, you know, they said, oh, you're a tinner. You know, I got to tell you, I don't think I've seen a piece of tin since I started in the business. We haven't had tin, but back in those days, we did have tin, whatever tin was. But we've had we use galvanized sheet metal for a lot of what we do. And then I mentioned what our mix of business was. The other 10% that we do is we do a lot of copper architectural sheet metal, outside sheet metal. We have some guys that are just extremely talented to do copper gutters and fancy roofs and bay roofs and that sort of thing.
You know, everyone talks about efficiency and the way things are today, and then some people say they don't make them like they used to. So with your experience, 55 years in the industry, what are some of those things that they don't make like they used to, and what are some things that you see today that you're just amazed by?
Well, I would say that the equipment is not going to last like it did when it first, for example, air conditioning units. Mm-hmm. When the first air conditioning units came out, they had cast iron compressors. They had all kinds of pressure controls mm-hmm. and devices to protect them against anything happening to them. And so they would last. Ones that we installed in the 50s lasted into the 90s. Mm-hmm. So they were lasting, 30, 40 years. The newer units, in order to keep the price affordable mm-hmm. to the general public, the only way they could do that was to remove some of these devices. And as a result, they aren't as long-lasting mm-hmm. as they were. But the other thing is that with the government making efficiency changes and requirements, it really wasn't necessary to have a unit that lasted 40 years because it became a better idea to change it to get the higher efficiency unit. Because we've gone from, air conditioners we installed back in those days had a what we call a SEER rating, which is a seasonal energy efficiency ratio. Mm-hmm. The number doesn't mean anything, but the comparison between the numbers does. For example, a 6 SEER unit would be half as efficient as a 12 SEER unit.
Okay.
And so today, the minimum efficiency that you can buy in an air conditioning unit is a 13 SEER. Mm-hmm. So that's a little over twice as efficient as a 6 SEER unit. And so, from that standpoint, the units are better than the old days because they are more efficient, even though they don't last as long.
The typical role of a CEO, when I hear Butch talk about all of this, the expertise he's had and the understanding of it all, I mean, how well-versed do you have to be in your own industry to be the CEO? Because I hear this and I think this guy knows everything.
He probably does know everything because he's lived it for multiple generations. 55 years is at least 2 generations. Mm-hmm. This hasn't come out in the interview yet, in the story as yet, but he also represents the industry in a lot of ways. So he is more well-versed in the industry, the regulatory requirements, and how the industry functions beyond his individual company than most CEOs would be. So we not only have a great history of heating and cooling in St. Louis, but this guy knows the broader industry and works on behalf of the broader industry, on behalf of himself and his competitors, mm-hmm. to make sure the industry is working well.
It's amazing what you can learn from a company that's been around for over a century. Butch Welch from Welch Heating and Cooling. We continue our conversation with him on the Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting, next. Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. We're joined today with Butch Welch. He's with Welch Heating and Cooling, a company that's been around for long over a century, started in 1895. He's been leading the company for 55 years. Also in studio with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. What have they done on a broader industry-wide level, and what is your contribution to that?
Well, the thing that I'm most – we are a union contractor, mm-hmm. and one of the things that I have done – I've been involved in negotiating labor contracts since 1977 mm-hmm. And have been labor chairman since the mid-90s. And I've worked very closely with our business manager, Dave Zimmerman, mm-hmm. of Local 36. Used to be called Sheet Metal Workers. Now it's called SMART, which is Sheet Metal, Air, and Rail, and Transportation. Mm-hmm. They've added some people. But Dave has been very cooperative. We've worked very hard. We are a residential contractor, basically. Mm-hmm. We've worked very hard to keep residential work union in the St. Louis area. And it's done two things. Number one, we are the area that has the highest percentage of residential work done union mm-hmm. in the entire United States. Hmm. And the other thing, the biggest problem, if you talk to contractors throughout the country, the biggest problem they experience is getting qualified help. We don't have that here in the St. Louis area because we have an exceptional apprentice training program. So we're able to train our people for the industry. And I'm extremely proud of what we've done. Together with Local 36, we built a new training school, over on Shoto, which is it's a beautiful training school. It also has a beautiful grand hall, which is used for weddings and parties and meetings and that, plus the union hall is there. And the whole purpose of it is to train our people. I teach a class there twice a year, and I emphasize to the apprentice, I teach the apprentices, and I emphasize my class is the business side of the sheet metal business, to let them know that there's more than just putting ductwork together and that. And I let them know that the work that they do and the importance of them doing a good job is what's going to keep us successful and competitive in the years going forward. And we've been able to do that. The other thing that I'm proud of is the fact that in St. Louis County, in the year 2000, they passed a mechanical licensing ordinance, which meant that everyone doing any mechanical, that's HVAC, plumbing, electrical work. The electrical and the plumbing was already done, but anybody doing any kind of HVAC work, both commercial and residential, has to be licensed. And when that was passed, I was questionable about it as it was being written. I wasn't sure it was right, but I figured the best way to see that it was administered fairly was to get involved. And so I kind of volunteered to be the chair of the committee, and I've been chair of the license board in St. Louis County now since it started in 2000, through three or four county executives, and I'm very proud of how fairly we've done. Some of the non-union contractors were afraid of a union contractor being in charge, but I think they will tell you that I've been very fair in the way we've administered the law. We've been very Not only have we been fair, but we've been very strict about we want people that know what they're doing to do the work. And let me just back up and say one of the reasons for this. When I started in the business in full-time in 1963, worked during the summers in high school and college before that, I didn't want to tell people what I did. I didn't want to say that I was a furnace man. I was embarrassed to say that.
Why?
Because we had the worst record. We were number one in the Better Business Bureau complaint list at that time. There were a couple of companies that feasted in St. Louis on going around, knocking on people's doors, offering to do a free furnace check. And if there wasn't something wrong with the furnace when they got there, there would be before they left. And they were crooks. There was no way, and they eventually were eliminated. And through the years, other people and I, and I've worked extremely, my main goal, if you will, throughout the years has been to improve the professionalism of the heating and air conditioning industry so that I can say proudly that I do HVAC and that I provide comfort to the people. And there's nothing more important. You know, people, it's interesting. We don't have the glamour when people are buying a house. We don't have the glamour of fancy cabinets and the fancy countertops and all that. But when the people are in, if they're not comfortable, all of a sudden we become important to them. And that's been my goal, is to improve the professionalism of our industry so we don't have people out there cheating the public and are giving them what they should be getting.
That seems to be changing a lot, especially in new builds, because that's a big selling point, is efficiency anymore. So they talk about the highlights of some of what's in there, including the furnace. You know, they talk about the windows and the furnaces and what the efficiency is. I think that might factor into some people's decisions when it comes to buying a new home or not.
I hope so. You know, hopefully someone in the family will be interested in both the efficiency of the equipment and also the comfort level, because there's different ways of doing things, some that are more comfortable than others. I mean, a simple example, if somebody's buying a two-story house, it's a fact. I didn't invent it. It's a fact that cold air drops and warm air rises, which means that if you're going to have a two-story home, you really need two zones. You need a zone for the upstairs, and you need a zone for the first floor. And if you're buying a new house, that's something you should give consideration to. Either two separate systems, one for the second floor and one for the first floor, mm-hmm. or if nothing else, we can put a zone damper system in, and so you can at least control the other floor.
What about your family? Do you have any kids involved
in
the business?
Our son-in-law is involved in our business. He's been involved in our business since right after he and our daughter got married. He mm-hmm. was they were in Indianapolis, and he was in the food business.
Okay.
He ran a restaurant.
Yeah.
And he came in about 3 weeks in a row, and it was a chili restaurant. And about three different times over a week, the guys didn't come in and make the chili, and he was in charge. And so he called me, and I had talked to him before they got married and said, you know, if you ever, we have a business that we could find a place for you.
Right.
Surprise. I thought he'd go 4 or 5 years before he decided to do anything.
It's been there a while.
No, right away he called and said, is that offer still open? And that was in 1991, and he's been with us ever since. He handles all of our new residential construction,
okay.
Is a major asset to the company.
So you have a daughter. Do you have any other kids?
I have a son who's in California. He is the literal space engineer.
Wow.
He works for Boeing in their satellite division.
Wow.
He went to the space camp. First time in when he started junior high, knew right then what he wanted to do, and now he's 45, and he's still doing what he wanted to do.
Wow. You heard a lot about his kids, but I should also note that Butch talked an awful lot about his wife here, the contribution she had not only to the family during the times when they were working, but of course to the business itself and her contributions to it, to Welsh Heating and Cooling. We're going to learn more about that family coming up next, plus thoughts from Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this show, The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You can learn a lot from a family business that's been around for a while, or, you know, maybe you could always learn more. Family businesses are like every other business. You need to stay up on the trends. You need to be always active and keeping your eye on your job and the people that are around you. People depend on you. But then there's also the family side, the people you sit down with and have dinner at the end of the day. That's why you need to talk to someone who knows what they're doing and knows how the family dynamic plays into family business. And that's why, if you're a family business, I would encourage you to reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. They lead a multidisciplinary team. They help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective owners. They align the next generation with you. And of course, that team includes talent, experts, tax and accounting and legal and banking and risk management. There's a lot that goes into it. CMA Consulting. Reach out to them for a complimentary, no obligation meeting to discuss your family business or maybe an upcoming generational transition. The website is cmaconsult.com, or you can give them a call at 314-721-1860. It's the website every family business should know, cmaconsult.com. We're together for one last time here today on The Business of Family Business with Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. We also want to thank Ferguson Roofing, our participating sponsor. So let's talk about the relationship that you had with your father before you took over the business, because you talked about starting the training schools in town. You talked about how you want to be strict on the qualifications to make sure the people working in St. Louis and around the area are all up to the standard that mm-hmm. they should be. Is that something your dad taught you, or how did you get instilled with that?
Yeah, Dad, I'm not sure how Dad did it. I really don't. He took over the business in 1929, uh-huh. 2 months before the stock market crashed, and then he operated the business through the Depression, through World War II when you couldn't get steel, and how he managed to do that is truly amazing. And so I learned. Number one, I learned work ethic from him. He had a work ethic that was tremendous, and he didn't teach me as much specifics as he taught me how to do things and how to treat people right. He was very he considered our company a family. We consider our company a family, and he treated the employees like that. We have over half of our employees. We have 85 employees. Mm-hmm. Over half of our employees have been with us for 15 years or more.
Wow.
In our industry, that's extremely unusual, and we're very proud of that. And it allows us to have people that know what our our ethics are and what our way of doing things is. And that's good.
Let me ask you this, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You heard about that. So a stock market crash, his father takes over the business right before that happens, and then you hear about shortages that are very important to your industry during like World War II. Trying to overcome hardships like that and the business still prospers, there's something to be said about that.
So there's that saying, challenges that don't kill you just make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, what more challenging on-the-job experience could you walk into than being the CEO for 2 months and then having the stock market crash and the Great Depression start 2 months into your tenure? I mean, I don't know. I never met Butch's father, but after that, everything else had to be seemed kind of easy in his mind, I would suspect.
Yeah, and he was only 17 at the time, so he had to quit. He had to quit as a sophomore at Maplewood High School and take over the business. He didn't have any choice. I mean, that was the family business.
Wow. So maybe you could back up to that. So he took it over at 17 because of what was the event that happened?
His dad died.
How did he die?
He had cancer.
Oh, okay. So 17, he was pushed into that, and he had a lot on his plate. And had to leave for the family business and still found a way to make it successful. Yeah. How many years did he work there?
Dad worked right up until he passed away in 1986. He was still coming in 3 days a week right up until he went in the hospital right before Labor Day in 1986. He had a cattle ranch that he started down in Steelville, Missouri, and he and Mom spent 4 or 5 days a week down there, and the rest of the time when he was in St. Louis, he was in the office. So it worked out well because over a period of time, he transitioned the business to me. There was, I guess, the official transition. I became president in 1982. Yeah. We're not very big on titles in that in our company. As a small company, titles and names don't mean a lot. We're not a big corporation, but officially I became president then.
Just doing some quick math. So you've been doing this for 55 years, is that right? Mm-hmm. And he was for about 56, 57 years, so almost about the same amount of time.
Yep.
It's remarkable.
Well, and what's interesting to me, and I hadn't thought about this really until the anniversary of his death is December 8th, and I always think about him quite a bit when December 8th rolls around because it's the day after Pearl Harbor Day, and I remember him telling me what he and Mom were doing when they were pushing me in a baby carriage because I was born in 41 in August, and so they were pushing me in a baby carriage when they heard about that. And
did he go and serve in the war?
No, he did not because he had the business.
Okay.
Allowed him because he was the breadwinner for the family, and so that kept him out of the war. He quit high school, so he didn't finish high school. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have a college education, but you would have never known it to talk to him. He was self-taught, and he learned the right way to do things, and he taught me the right way to do things. Our motto is to be the best heating and air conditioning company in St. Louis. It's simple. That's all it is. And we empower our people to do what it takes to make that happen. And I frequently run into stories where the guys will have done something that went out of their way. We just had one in the last week or so where one of our servicemen was on a job, and he was talking to the lady about what the date was, and she said, "Oh, my gosh, this is an anniversary of 20 years of me being cancer-free." And without saying anything to the office, anything to me or the service manager, he made out the ticket. He said, "I'm going to give you a 20% discount in honor of the fact that you're 20 years cancer-free." Mm-hmm. Now, some bosses might not like for a guy to do that. I was thrilled. We made him the employee of the month because he thought ahead enough to do something like that. That's the kind of company we want to be.
Wow. Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling. Have you thought about your own transitioning or what's going to happen with the company? Because after 55 years, you need a break sometime soon.
Well, we have two people that we have our CFO, Paul Hyman, helps run the company. And Denise Webb is our service manager and vice president. They're both vice presidents. And they are the two people that I count on to run the business when I'm not there. As I tell them, we have a timeshare unit in Longboat Key, Florida. Mm-hmm. We go twice a year for 3 weeks. That's my retirement. That's the way I plan to retire. Yeah. I don't plan to quit. I don't play golf. My wife doesn't want me home. I don't like daytime TV. So as a result, as long as I'm of able mind and body, and there's some that question the mind part already, but as long as I'm of able mind and body, I think I will continue to work. I know people that have retired, and I ask them what they do, and they kind of stumble around and they don't really have anything to say. And quite honestly, I feel I still have things to contribute to the world and to life. And I'm not ready to just, you know, give it up and not do that.
Yeah. How many years have you been married?
54.
Wonderful.
It'll be 55. And we got married. I went on honeymoon. Came back from the honeymoon and started full-time in the business. So we got married June 15th of 63. How about that? I remember my wedding anniversary. And like I say, we went on a 17-day honeymoon, came back, and I've been full-time ever since.
Yeah. The role of your wife, has she ever had any role in the company?
She worked a couple of summers. We had a lawsuit that we filed against a manufacturer who went out of business and left us hanging with a bunch of warranty work. Mm. And she worked a couple of summers putting together all the what we needed to take to the courthouse in New Jersey in order to do that. And that was enough. She was a school teacher. She went back to teaching school, and she taught school. And then back in those days, they made you quit when you were pregnant. Hmm. And this was in 1967, and she was pregnant with our daughter. And so when she had our daughter in June of 1967, I went into the hospital and I said, honey, okay, now you've had the baby. When are you going to go back to teaching? Well, this is 54 and a half years later, and I'm still waiting for her to go back to work. So I think that ship has sailed. I don't think that's going to – but she's a volunteer. She's worked extremely hard as a volunteer. She her main cause is she was a member of Delta Gamma Sorority, and the Delta Gammas have a foundation here in St. Louis that provides visual handicapped children with a place to go, and she's worked for – 50 years with the Delta Gamma Foundation for that. And I'm very proud of what she's done as a volunteer in that in many ways.
Like, so if someone wanted to reach out, maybe ask you some questions, how do they find you guys?
Number one, we have a website, welch-heatcool.com. They can email me at bwelch@welch-heatcool.com. Mm-hmm. They can call us at 314-872-8070, and we will answer the phone. I promise you that. And there'll be somebody in our company who can answer a question about HVAC.
Dan, I got to ask you your thoughts on this story. What a remarkable story we just heard.
Yeah, we have another tremendous success story, another 100-plus year history. Butch has had a great 55-year run and is still running strong, as you can tell by the way he's told his story today. He's well-respected in the industry and has given a lot to it via his negotiating, licensing, and other work. I do happen to know the leader of the sheet metal workers, and these two gentlemen respect each other. And that's no small accomplishment after negotiating contracts across the table from each other for 20 years.
Right.
So hats off to Butch.
Butch Welsh from Welsh Heating and Cooling. It was a pleasure to hear your story today, and thank you for sharing it on the Business of Family Business.
It's certainly my pleasure.